I want to jump right in with the great Kerry Peck, managing partner at Peck Ritchie. You often hear him with John Williams, and we're thrilled to have Kerry on with us today. Kerry, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the invitation. Looking forward to a good discussion.
Yeah, you handle a lot of things, and you often come on to talk to John about elder abuse and neglect, but you do all sorts of things, whether it's probate, estate planning, tax law. And so we thought we had to call you when this big story broke about the Blind Side and the lawsuit. Before we get into this, the central character of this whole thing in terms of a legal document is the conservatorship. Can you define just, you know, plainly what a conservatorship is supposed to be?
Sure. In Illinois, we call it a guardianship, but the word's interchangeable. So, you know, in other states, for example, the Britney Spears case was called a conservatorship. What a conservator or guardianship is, it's a determination by a court that someone, let's assume for purposes of our discussion, you need a guardian. You need someone to make decisions for you in the realm of either your asset management or your health care, or perhaps both. So the court basically looks at the situation and says, does John Hansen need a guardian? And if so, who should it be? So it's a two-pronged inquiry. And that individual that becomes typically what's called a ward in either a conservatorship or a guardianship, or perhaps called a disabled person in the context of that legal term, then loses the ability to make decisions for themselves in conjunction with perhaps their financial management. In the Blind Side scenario, you know, it appears that, you know, the NFL player Michael Orr was and remains the subject of a conservatorship or a guardianship in which the Tuohy family was appointed to make financial decisions for him. Go ahead.
Do both parties have to agree to this, or can you bring it to court against someone and make the argument and kind of, quote unquote, force them into this?
You can be forced into it. I would say the vast majority are not by agreement, not by consent, because it's often used, for example, with folks that have parents that have become demented from Alzheimer's disease or circumstances like that. Someone has a stroke. Someone suffers from Parkinson's. They're no longer able to manage their financial affairs, and we go in and ask the court to appoint usually one of their children or another family member as their guardian to make decisions for them and protect them. Protect them from making bad decisions and protect them from being exploited.
Right. And the strokes and, you know, that sort of limitations, that makes total sense. But in this case, I mean, maybe, I don't know if we know the exact details, but like, what would be an argument for a young man? He says, I think they say it was signed after he was 18, so I think he's an adult in this situation, or very close to it when this happens. What would you have to show for someone who's about that age as a legitimate reason? It can't just be because this person might make a lot of money and they might spend it poorly based on what you think, right? I mean, there has to be something at the crux of this, right?
Yeah. What needs to be done, for example, again in Illinois, is we need to file a medical report so that the individual is examined by his or her perhaps attending physician or a physician that says definitively, this is the diagnosis, for example, Alzheimer's disease. This is the prognosis. It's only going to get worse. And is this individual totally or only partially incapable of making financial or health care decisions? And finally, what's the best living circumstance? So guardianships require underlying medical evidence. The facts of this case appear to be, you know, completely in dispute. And I don't really know what prompted the guardianship at his ripe old age of 18. But it appears somebody was persuaded the judge that he wasn't able to make his own decisions. And the Tuohy family has been his court-appointed guardian for many, many years. You know, there's some allegations here that they made a lot of money off of him and off of the movie and the book and things like that. It wasn't until the Britney Spears case that we'd ever even heard of the concept of, you know, in that case, her father was her guardian, and he got a percentage, apparently, of her performance money. Mm. So that was pretty unusual. I've never seen anything like that allowed in Illinois. Would never be allowed in Illinois.
Yeah.
And it's unclear, you know, what happened in the Orr case.
Yeah, and I'm glad you state that there has to be some medical reason for it, because there's agreements like with child actors, right, where you put money aside for that child when they turn 18, right? That's not a conservatorship. That's something completely different, right?
That's completely different. That's probably a setup of a trust for the benefit of a minor.
Right. So maybe I could see that, like an 18-year-old, there's a book coming out, he's about to be recruited. Okay, this family loves him, and they go on, they set up together a trust to help manage money for someone that maybe hasn't had experience with that before. But that would take kind of everyone agreeing to that, and especially if he's an adult at that point, I don't even know if that's possible, but that's not at all what this is. Because I heard a lot of people say, well, they were just having his back and looking out for him, which still could be the case if there's a medical thing there that maybe we don't quite know about. But this wasn't a we're going to manage this money together sort of situation.
And I read as much as I could find.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is the conservatorship angle of it. Have you heard about this? Oh, sorry, Carrie. I think we're breaking up just a little bit. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, I can.
Great.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Great. There we go.
Good.
All right.
Okay.
The adoption thing. I don't know how much you waded into the waters in this, where he thought he was adopted, was always kind of under the thought that he was part of this family, which would then indicate maybe he's going to be in, you know, benefit from them, you know, when there's passage of estates and stuff like that. Have you read anything about that? That just seems so strange that someone wouldn't know for sure if they were adopted or not.
Again, I think the facts are highly controversial. He asserts that they told him he was being adopted. They deny it. And you know, never the twain shall meet. But adoption is clearly an entirely different scenario that I suspect both you and your listeners are familiar with. And it's, you know, it's a court determination that generally a minor child has now become part of the family and been adopted. As a disabled person or a ward in a conservatorship, they may have used the terminology, we're going to be, you know, you're now part of our family, but it's not even remotely the same. There's no bloodline, there's no inheritance rights, there's nothing of that nature.
The TUIs have now said that they will seek to end the conservatorship. Is there any, I mean, I think Michael Orr is suing that he wants any money that was made off his name or likeness that maybe he was thinks he was entitled to. Is there any thought that they could award Michael Orr some back pay that maybe the TUIs got that should have rightfully been him instead? Or do you think that that money, once paid out, is already gone if the conservatorship was legal and binding?
Well, in Illinois, we're required to file an annual accounting, so that every dollar in and every dollar out is accounted for. I suspect that before the Michael Orr guardianship is over, the TUI family will be ordered to file an accounting and determine, you know, what money came in that ostensibly was earned using Michael's name, whether it was an NFL contract or the movie or the book from the movie, things like that. But, I mean, I don't know if he will be awarded money back. You know, the TUIs contend via their lawyer that TUI sold his business for $200 million. So that in and of itself, they're...
Looks like we lost Carrie there for just a moment. Tell you what, let's take a break. We're going to get him back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and plenty other coming up on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. Carrie Peck, managing partner at Peck Ritchie, joining us. And Carrie, some texters have been texting in some of the reasons why they've heard about the conservatorship for Michael Orr of The Blind Side, if you're just joining us, why it was there. It was a judge-approved agreement made with the permission of Orr's biological mother and inked about 2 months before he signed to play at Ole Miss. The TUI said they loved him like a son and that they were doing it because it would help him with health care costs, get him a driver's license, and being admitted to college. But now, every lawyer that I've read says that still doesn't make a lot of sense. He was over 18, and like you've said, there's got to be like a medical angle to this. It can't just be an agreement of, you know, convenience to try and usher someone into a college. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, Carrie.
Well, I agree. It doesn't make any sense. It appears that the Tuohy family has some strong connections to Ole Miss, but which, you know, I believe enhanced his ability to get into the football program. At least that's what they're contending. But there has to be some medical basis, and it's not clear, you know, whether you know what type of perhaps, and I don't know the answer,
right,
whether Michael had some type of mental deficit that required the appointment of a third party to manage his money and sign his contracts and things like that. It's very, very unusual for us not to have more detail in these kinds of stories.
Maybe.
Because, you know, the medical scenario just generally jumps off the page.
Yeah, and maybe we'll get more in the coming days and week. You say it's called a guardianship here in Illinois. You listed off some of the reasons. Are you able to help people with that? Because there really are some legitimate and important reasons why a guardianship is needed.
Yeah, we're happy to help people. We represent people in guardianship court every day. It's a critical proceeding because it's a blend of medicine and law, and you really need to know what you're doing in order to make the outcome positive.
And it's usually if someone is debilitated in some way, should people be waiting till something like that happens, or are there plans that people should be making when they're of sound mind right now to help make those transitions a little bit easier when perhaps they're not?
Well, you can do that by executing a power of attorney in Illinois. We have two types of powers of attorney, called a durable power of attorney for property, which is asset management, and a durable power of attorney for health care. So if I sign a power of attorney and I name you, John, as my agent, when I become disabled, you can take over without a guardianship court proceeding. So that's really significant. That's why people should use power of attorney documents and do advanced planning in that regard.
A question we often get on this show when we talk about estate planning and on the financial show that I host is, should I put the home that I own in my kid's name to make things easier when I pass? We get that question a lot. I think the answer is no, Carrie, but could you, I know without a lot of details, it's hard to come up with a definitive answer, but can you just generally speaking talk about whether that's an appropriate process for handling that sort of situation?
Certainly, and I agree 100%. A vehement no is the answer. And the reason is that you put your child's name on your house, you know, parent puts their child's name on the house. If that child goes through a divorce, or that child goes through bankruptcy, or that child has credit-related issues, they're coming after your house. And so it's that simple. If you want to lose your house, that's when you should do it.
Yeah. And also then if you put your kid on the official, you know, deed or whatever it is, and after you pass, do they then... I mean, I guess the value of the home goes back to when they were put on the estate, right? Not instead of the time you pass, so that when they sell the house now, they're going to owe perhaps more in capital gains taxes. Do I understand that correctly, too?
Well, I think that valuation is a tricky business, and determining when the house is valued, you raise kind of a, if I add my child, will they get the value back there and capital gains go up? There's no clear answer to that scenario.
Okay.
That would be my response.
Okay. You do all sorts of probate, estate planning, tax law. What's the best number people should reach to reach you over at Peck Ritchie?
You can reach us at 312-201-0900. So it's 312-201-0900. And we offer a free initial consultation, and we'd love to have your listeners call.
I love that. We actually just got a last-second text here. Can a guardianship done in Illinois still be valid in another state, or do we need to refile in those other states?
The guardianship needs to be transferred, and you need a lawyer in the other state. I'm licensed in Illinois and Florida. But, yes, the guardianship needs to be transferred, and you're likely to have to refile. But the process should be a little bit easier but we need to locate a lawyer in the receiving state, and we can help you with that as well.
Carrie Peck, I always love hearing you with John Williams. It's an honor to talk to you, sir. You do so much great work. You've won so many awards, and you've done so many great things in the cases of elder abuse and neglect and so much more. Thanks for calling in, Carrie. I appreciate your expertise, okay?
Thanks for having me, John. Have a wonderful day.
Absolutely.